Chof Kislev, 8th of December, Rabbi Baruch, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, Yaakov Avinu.
A very well-known Rashi at the beginning of this week's Sedra. Rashi says, Nidrash Rayeshet Yankov, Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'Shalvo, Kofat Solov Rukhu Shal Yosef. Yaakov Avinu wanted to live in peace, to live in tranquility. And Kofat Solov Rukhu Shal Yosef. Tzadikim Avakshim Leshe B'Shalvo, the Tzadikim want to live B'Shalvo. They don't need to live in Shalva and Olam Hazar. Strange thing to say about Yaakov Avinu that he wanted to live in peace, he wanted to live in Shalva. The tachlis of our life in this world we know is to be Omed Ben Yisrael. The tachlis of life in this world is that there are challenges. We know that the Gemara talks about people, tzaddikim, who are worried. If a few days went by without any tzoras, maybe there'd be mekabel this time olam hazeh. That our attitude always is that the tachlis of life is olam haba, and life in this world is so that we overcome the nisyonos of olam hazeh. So, if that's pshat, if we're here for nisyonos, here for challenges, why would Yaakov Avinu be mevakesh leishet b'shalva? And more than that, Rashi sounds like tzaddikim. It's a klal in tzaddikim. Tzaddikim want to live b'shalva. Surely tzaddikim realize that the tachlis of this world is avidah b'nisayon dafka when it isn't going easy. The Sfasemis says a taich. It says because Yankov Leisha b'shalva means that there are two ways of serving a Kodesh Baruch. Sometimes a person serves a Kodesh Baruch by just living with his inner koichus, by connecting to his inner world, and that is true shalva. Shalva is to live involved with just ruchnius, just connected to his sherish neshama. But the tachlis of a person in mazeh is sometimes to do things and to get involved with inyanim of olam hazeh that are so challenging that they take a person away from his highest madrega. And that brings the kedusha to other areas of olam hazeh. And that's what the Rebbeinu was saying was tzaddikim want the leidayin and tzaddik mashem m'sukin lem leilam abo. They want to live in leilam habadig a life in this world. No, that's not what this world is about. Sometimes a person is forced to leave his inner madrega and to go out, to go further, to go into something and to bring it into the olam ha'maisa. I'd like to talk about this in the context of Yaakov Avinu, this sugya of bringing something into the olam ha'maisa. We'll go back, right back to the very beginning of Bris Olam, and we'll see this concept, the way it expresses itself in various areas of life in olam hazeh. Right at the beginning of the Chumash, first pasuk, Bereshis Bara Elikim Es HaShamayim Es HaOret, which of course is commonly translated as Hashem create, in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth. And Rashi says it can't mean that for various reasons. Rashi says it means in the beginning of Hashem's creation of heaven and earth. But the Ramban has a taich in that pasuk. The Ramban says this: Bereshis Bara Elikim Es HaShamayim Ve Es HaOret means that the first thing HaKadosh Baruch created was something that had within it all of Shamayim and a substance that had within it all of Oret. And then from that stuff, that Shamayim stuff and Oret stuff, Hashem created everything else. There was some matter which was Shamayim-like, and that was the source of all Shamayim things. And there was Oret stuff. He calls it Hiyuli, a Greek word, Hiyuli. What is that? That stuff, that matter is so undefined, it's so vague, that the only way to describe it is the way the Torah describes itself. What does the Torah say? Bereshis Bara Elikim Es HaShamayim Es HaOret. There was the Shamayim stuff and the Oret stuff. Well, Oret, if you want to know what the Oret stuff was like before HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned it into the world, you know? Toyu Vavoyu. It's undefined, it's indescribable, it was pure matter. We know that in our lives we have matter and form. You have something that's soft and plastic, and you can move it around. You've got a piece of of plasticine. You can make it into any shape or form, but at the moment it has no form. But plasticine has many aspects that can be designed. Its color, its texture, you can feel it, you can sense it. This Hinyuli stuff is just completely beyond description. It's Toyobavoy. So Keshorach first creates that. And from that, he makes the rest of the world. And you wonder sometimes, like, why would he do that? Why not just make stuff straight? Vayomeli kim, yehi rokia. Why does he need to have made something first, and then something without form, and then turn that Hiyuli into plants, animals, trees, sky, earth? Why not just make it straight? What's this double stage? And you say it, this is from Ramesh Shapiro, Zeich Tzadik Levracha. It's a very, very interesting Yisrael, and it goes back to the essential kechus of the Bria. Bria, to make something brand new, to make something yesh mehayin, means you have to create something and break out of all limits. Creation means something that you might have limits. It's mechadush, pure koyach achidush. In koyach achidush, there are no limits. If you want to make a koyach achidush, you can't say this much, this far, this shape, this size, this far, this form. It's koyach achidush is by definition something that breaks out of all borders. You then have an opposing koyach that then comes and defines and imposes tzura on that matter. Sounds a bit philosophical. Let's bring it more down into something more practical, more real. Whenever something new starts, whenever a new idea is being explored, there's always that first meeting where there's somebody who's got a brilliant idea and he's bubbling over with his idea and he's got a new invention that he wants to share, a new company he wants to set up, a new moisud that he wants to establish. He's full of it. And there's some people in the meeting who support him, and inevitably there's a group who oppose it. And they point out why it can't work and why it doesn't make sense and all the problems it's going to face. And what generally happens is there's a great big argument and everybody goes home frustrated. That's one way of doing things. Then they have a second meeting and the same thing happens. Some are for, some are against, some are good idea, bad idea, that. And they say, look, we've got such potential. And they say, ah, it's not going to work. Everybody's frustrated. It seems that a more efficient way would be, and people do try this, that the first meeting, that the agenda is creativity. What can we do? Let's think, and only positive ideas. That's it, only the things that can work. And in that meeting, there's no no's, there's no negatives, there's no won'ts, there's no don'ts, there's no problems, there's no issues. Anything that could be, not now. First meeting is just creativity. And there's some people who thrive on this. And they're able to come up with ideas. They're able to think out of the box. And they come up with such amazing ideas. And everything in this meeting gets written down. There's nothing that's abandoned because it's ridiculous. Just let it flow. Just let those creative juices flow. And let the ideas come out. Meeting one. Meeting number two. Oh, now second stage. Now let's hear in the second meeting what can go wrong, why we can't manage, the difficulties in finances, the clashes of personality, the limits of time, the limits of personnel, why this might not work out. There'll be a resistance, there'll be political problems, there'll be all sorts of people who will oppose it. Fine, that's the second meeting. And that, then, separates those two koichos. If you try to define things, if you're dealing with the limits during the first meeting, you'll crush the creativity. You won't get the fullness of that expression. You don't get that sense of having really explored the idea to its fullest. Putting these two together means you have neither. First, let the chidush come out, and then let's talk about the koyach of limits, the koyach of agbola, the koyach of din, of gvura, that sets things straight and places the limits. It's fascinating, it works with kids. Kids often resist. You know, kids come out with the most silly ideas. Silly, silly, silly ideas. They want to go to, and they've got a dream for your summer holiday. And this kid has been busy with it all day. He's only 9 years old. And he comes home and he's been busy. And he comes home and he says, you know, we should go to, I don't know, San Francisco for the summer holidays. And you say, oh, come on, don't be silly. And there's a World War II. And it turns out that they start fighting. That's a 9-year-old, right? It's a young teenager. Once they're older teenagers, you're really stuck. If you take the kid and you say, wow, it's fascinating, let's hear what you want to do. And you let them talk and let them share all their ideas and write it all down seriously. And say, I really need to think about it. Come back to him 2 hours later or the next evening, the next afternoon, and say, one second, there's an issue with, and you go through the list and you show him the problems, you'll get much better reception. Because we've allowed that koach of chiddush to express itself, and only then do we come back with the second koach of hisnagdus. Koach of chiddush and koach of tzura. The koach of bria and the koach of yitzira. Bria is yesh me'ayim. Bria is making something, just bring it into existence. At that point, that koach by definition can't be defined. The second koach, the koach of yitzira, tzura, giving things definition, that can be applied afterwards, after you have it. So often a man wakes up in the morning and he just gets an idea, just thinks of something that makes such a difference to himself, to his family, to the community, to the world. And he lets it grow, and it's really so exciting. And he comes home that evening and he shares it with his wife, and bang! She starts telling him just, you know, all the reasons why it's not going to work. And he thinks, why did I marry this woman? Like, what type of person is this? She's so negative. When in reality, that's what she's created for. Ezer kenegdoi. She helps him by standing against him and saying, one second, hold on. That might not work. Stop dreaming. Come down to earth. That's what women are for. They ground those dreamy men and bring them down to earth. One second, not all women, not all men, but there is a pattern where men may be more creative and women are able to finalize things, to define things. That's what happens in birth. The chelik of the ish is just a mashu. The ish gives it tzura. But at the end of the day, after these two meetings, what are you left with? A list, right? Very exciting list of ideas, and a lot of lines through those lists. A lot of reasons why it can't work. And from that, be'emes, nothing ever comes out. All you have is an idea that was scrapped and abandoned for very good reason. What's stage three? Stage three, and this is be'emes, the real kech, the real chiddush, the real talent, is having heard all those ideas, having lived through the dream of stage one, having heard the difficulties, having faced up to the challenges that were discussed in stage two, to then salvage some of stage one from stage two. There was going to be this Moisid that was going to change the world. It was going to be a new school that was going to be so different. It would deal with the emotional needs. It would deal with the intellectual needs. It would have teachers of a caliber that nobody's ever seen before. It would completely, completely revolutionize the whole educational system, this country and the world. Because it would be a flagship and people would follow this. And it would be, it produced such kids that the whole yeshiva system would have to change. It was amazing. That was the dream in stage one. Stage two, there was a realization that probably not going to work. But it doesn't mean that the whole thing has to be thrown out and has to be abandoned. We can go back and say, right, that dream we said, maybe we won't achieve it, but we still can achieve some of our goals, maybe on a smaller scale, maybe less exciting, but to salvage from stage one that which we can achieve in stage two. To take something and to make it real. The creativity of stage one, amazing. That's where the ideas come from. That's where chiddush comes from. The gvulim, the gvurois, the din of stage two that says, one second, you have to fit into the limits of this world. All fine, but there's no tachlis unless you have somebody who comes along and says, hakosav, hashlishi, hamachriya v'ineim, and says, one second, so halacha l'maisa, what can we do? What does that mean to us? A good wife. Leave space for that. Leave space for a husband to then come and actually do something with it. To make something real. Because stage two on its own leaves you with nothing. A person gets a chizuk. A person gets a neridigis oirus. His oirus, by his very nature, is stage one. It's amazing. A person's dreaming, he's Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, and He sees what he wants to become. That he sees tremendous potential, and he's right in theory, right? That's always the truth, right? In theory, there's not much of a difference between theory and practice. In practice, there is. In theory, it's all great. It's all there. It's all there, and the potential is truly so inspired. And then 2 days later, it's all gone, and you end up with two types of people. There's those who are full of inspiration, and they go up, and they go down, and they go up, and down. Like Shiva Bakhrim, and every week there's a shmooze, and then the rest of the week they just, doesn't quite work, and then a new Isaiah. It's nice, but it's not real. Nothing's happened, it's just chalomus, it's just something new, something fresh, something. There's always a Isaiah. The Isaiah is up there, it's a dream. And then we have cynics. They say, what, Isaiah? I know what that is. That's not meaningful. That doesn't get you anywhere. I've been inspired so many times that it didn't do me anything. There's no point in inspiration, and they won't listen to anything, they won't go to any show, and they're not interested. It doesn't work. Nothing changes. It's the gibber, the godder, the person who has the inner strength to go to that show, to hear the inspiration, and then to understand that as much as that was incredible, as exciting as that Madriga was, there's questions that have to be asked. Can I get there? How can I get there? How long will it take me to get there? That's a stage two. Those questions are the limits that are our reality. But then not to give up, but say, okay, how can I bring that Lide Maisa? How can I take something of it? Those are the people who are left with something after Yom Kippur. Most of us go to Yom Kippur and we get, wonderful. And then nothing left. Because we went through that. The next day over Sukkot, we saw why it can't work. But we don't always take something out of it and turn it into something that's halacha l'maisa, something that we can live with, something that we can apply, something that we can make real. That's stage three. That koyach of asir. That's it. If we're talking about ish v'isha, you have the ish, his chelik, the isha turns it into a vlad, but at that point, at the end of 9 months of pregnancy, there's nothing there. You don't yet have anything. There's nothing there. There's nothing real, nothing meaningful. You've got a vlad, but the vlad is part of his mother. There's an uber yerech imoy. At this point, all you have is an incapacitated woman, basically. There's nothing, you don't have anything meaningful. Until there's a leida, until you take something out of it, and you bring something lidei atzma, you bring it to the world, you might see it la'avir ha'olam, you don't have anything. And that is the expression of the reality of stage one. That mashu of the ish now comes lidei maisa, v'hoyu l'basa echot. What's interesting is to think about the emotional experience of these three stages, because this affects us tremendously. It's why so many people stay in stage one, so many people live in stage two, and it's only those few people that actually make it into the Olam HaMaisa. What's the Ruach? What's the Avirah in that first meeting? What's positive? Negative? If you have a meeting like that where somebody's coming up with something new and everybody's sharing ideas and there's no negativity, it's all about the creative kliches. There's an excitement in the air, there's a dream, there's a sense of belonging to something that is bigger than, larger than life. And it is, because when we're dreaming, we can always be larger than life. We can always picture things without any limits. And at that point, you can invent anything you want. You can dream up the most powerful arrangement or company that possible. In the world of dreaming, there's immense, immense, immense potential. And it's a wonderful feeling. You're breaking out of all your limits. It's a wonderful feeling. The Ruach in the room during stage two. Negative, maybe depressing even, certainly frustrating, disappointing. It's the realization that all those dreams have to be crushed. And can't necessarily come to fruition. It's a struggle. But both meeting one and meeting two are easy compared to stage three. Stage three, to sit down and work through, to creatively explore what we can salvage from that mess, the broken stage one, from those challenges that we're facing. To actually bring something lidei maisa is immensely, immensely challenging. It's frustrating. It's painful. There are constant hurdles, constant obstacles. It's so difficult to keep sight of the vision, of the goal, of where we want to get to during stage three. And yet, that's when the real action is. That's when things really start to change. The experience of the Zohar, the experience of the Ish, his contribution, is be'emus a sense of tremendous potential, and it's pure geschmack. It's a flash, it's a moment. Stage two is hard work. 9 months of carrying that baby, that's hard work. But the leider itself is tzar leider, is cheble leider. One of the most painful experiences that a human being can go through. The leider itself is terribly painful. There's only one thing. At the end of that leider, at the end of that lailo, comes a boiker. To hold a newborn baby, to hold your own child, is a joy that nothing can rival. Compare the moment of joy of starting something new, the excitement of setting, of thinking, of dreaming about a project, and compare that to the simcha, the internal tam of holding your own child, a newborn baby, a fully formed vlad. There's no comparison. A million exciting first experiences don't compare to one moment of actually realizing, wow, this is what I brought to fruition. Those dreams, very exciting, but the tam of having opened the doors of a new meisah, of a new company, of new anything, and actually brought it to lidei meisah, is so deeply satisfying, nothing can compare. The only thing is, the first geschmack, the first sense of, wow, doing something is easy to achieve. You don't have to work. You don't have to even go through Yarche later. You certainly don't have to go through Chevle later, the tsar of the birth. And you get something easy. It looks like you have something. And we all know people who live their lives that way. Who live their lives always with something new. They're always trying a new project. They're always starting afresh. Yes. A new Masechta, a new Limud, now we're learning Halacha, now we're learning Gemara, now we're learning Yerushalmi, always something new, a new Masechta, a new Perek, a new Dav, and this time it's going to work. And it won't. It won't work any better than it did last time. New beginnings are people who can't get there, they can't concretize things. So many inventors, so many artists, so many incredibly capable people who Taka contributed massively by their inventions or their art, would have still lived their lives in poverty. Because they were dreamers. Because they were stage one. Because they never could actually bring something to the answer. They could never run their finances. They could never limit themselves or their time in a way that was efficient, that was effective. It's two different kaychas. So those oneers aren't getting anywhere. And the tours who are always so negative and never get anywhere also don't achieve. It's those people who can work through, who can plug, can invest the effort into translating something into concretized reality, are the ones who are truly successful. It's true in a sugya. You start off learning a tesvus, it's geschmack. New tesvus are always easy. And the feeling is, it's all clear, it's all geschmack. The first time, the second time, as the rabbi in the school used to say, 1, 2, 3, geschmack. 4, 5, 6 is hell. 7, 8, 9 is geschmack. He told us that in American, so, but he could tell us that. He was telling us, yes, the first few times you learn a Gemara, of course it's going to be easy. Of course it's geschmack. And then to go back to it is taka challenging. It's taka. It's not just 4, 5, 6. It's like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, where you learn it again, and there's no tam, and there's no geschmack, and that doesn't seem like anything's happening. That's the middle stage. And at that stage, so often we give up. And we don't, we think, it's too hard. It's not meant to be exciting at this stage. This is the long pregnancy that's going to give you something, that's going to give you some real success. Hold out, it's worth it. This, it might not be geschmack at this point, but this is what produces the real result. The Chasnish says this is the key to successful learning. Go over it again when there's no time and you don't yet feel the time. Yes, it's boring, people say. Because Sha'atika Mechadata is much more difficult. Take the time in Avodas HaNefesh, in the stage two, when we've had these great plans of how we're going to change our lives, change our children's lives, really make a difference to ourselves, our family, to the Kehila. And take the time to write those goals down on paper. And when you write them on paper, there's a sensation, well, I'm not sure this really makes sense. And that's disappointing. And we don't like that feeling of stage two. We don't like the feeling of disappointment. But we have to learn to associate that with true growth. And to recognize the link between stage two and stage three and the ultimate birth that comes afterwards. If we can be time, when a person does that and goes through a sugya, a tesis, a marsha, enough times till all of a sudden the light goes on. And then you chazer it again. And then you write it down. The geschmack of having something written with absolute clarity. You can't compare that to any other geschmack in learning. The geschmack. I really know this. I'm a master of this daf. I'm a master of this parasha. That sense of mastery that comes at stage three is such a satisfaction. It's a long-term pleasure that a person can take with him and that we look back to and it still gives us geschmack. In chinuch, children today naturally don't have this experience. It's something that was once an integral part of living life, and today is gone. There was a time when anything you wanted to achieve took time, patience, investment. If you lived on a farm, you knew that you planted something, and you were zereya bedima. The planting experience was that of tears. It was frustrating. You took good grain that could have been turned into food and you planted it and you threw it. And there was a sense of what's this doing. And then you went through the time and you planted it and you watered it and you weeded it. And then slowly the sprouts came out. It took ages till you finally got your harvest in, ready to use. When you had those bags of flour that were turned into bread. The distance was massive. And you learned naturally. You're not going to get anything worthwhile unless you invest. And there's a long tzkufa where you don't get anything. But we live in a world of microwaves, where even heating up a piece of potato kugel is instant. Where things are so easy. Where there's always a sense of something superficial available, new. And if that doesn't satisfy you, I'll give you something else. New. Always something new. It seems like that's the ultimate advert. New. Wait, why is that so exciting? Why is new better? Because the old doesn't give us satisfaction. If you live in stage one, you only get that excitement for a minute. It doesn't last. And so I'm going to upgrade and get something new. And maybe that will be better. Every year I'll get a new car, a new phone. Because there's nothing real in it. Something that comes, that takes longer to achieve. Where we allow ourselves to go through the experience and enjoy things. With the difference between a little computer game that's quick, but then you're left with nothing. Or in Olam Hazeh, climbing a mountain and getting to see the view at the top. The experience of difficulty that produces something that's a sensation benefesh that is meaningful can then be translated into life's experiences and the understanding that if we want to make kinyonim, if we want to make real change, if we want to become better people, every project has to be real. We have to write it on paper, write down for ourselves why it won't work, and then see the reality of what we can achieve. It's often disappointing to see that the great dream of stage one is so small and so limited, but it's only by the experiencing the geschmack of how real that small final product is. I didn't get the whole shiur, but I got something and I took that and I was cleaner it. Didn't get the whole masechta, but I took one period and chazed it till I knew it. The more we practice experiencing that joy, the more our children can see and experience the joy of stage three, the more empowered they are. So therefore go through the difficulty of stage two, because they know that ultimately that's what's worthwhile. Avraham Avinu, first flash, the Keach HaChidush. It's a wonderful, exciting, thrilling life, Nesiyah L'Kimat HaBaseichenu. Yitzchak Avinu is an Iver, he's blind, he's Kolibzeh, Beseh, Choshev, Gemes, very disappointing. Yaakov Avinu has sorrows like none of the other of us. But ultimately, he's the one who sees a Klal Yisrael being established by Chiyak of Eretz Mitzrayim, and it's the Geshmak of stage 3 that empowers us to work through the difficulties of stage 2 and the Chavli later.
Good.